I'm going to call our meeting to order. Hopefully you guys got the packet that was sent on Friday. So just moving down the line, we have approval of the minute. Is there a motion to approve the minute?
This is Doug. I so move.
I second.
Wonderful. Any discussion? Any changes? Friendly amendments?
I happen to notice a few typos. Is it easiest if I just mention those right now?
Sure, Jack. Yep.
On page 3, item 6 at the end, it says, thank you for continuing to give us confidence that money is being managed. I think there's probably supposed to be an adverb there as to how it's being managed. But I don't remember from the discussion what that was.
Yep.
The second thing I was going to mention is page 4 at the top, the very first line, I think the word been is missing after has. He thinks there has been only one timber sale.
You are absolutely correct, Taj.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And then the third paragraph on that page, about halfway through, there's a board chair, Godlewski, that I think should be a possessive with an apostrophe S.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing was, there was a reference, Sarah, to something you had said, and I just wasn't sure if it captured your meaning correctly. This is the last paragraph in item 7, that the closure was a significant driver of the market conditions because of COVID. I assume what you meant to say was that COVID was a significant driver of the market conditions that led to the closure.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that, Josh. Yep.
That's what I had. Thanks.
Thanks for pointing those out. Tom, do you guys have any questions on Josh's changes?
No.
Okay. Any objection? None on my end. So seeing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes as amended by Josh, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Minutes are approved. Moving to approval of the loans, we have 18 loans to approve this week. Is there a motion to approve the loans?
So moved. We're supposed to check to make sure they... It's properly scrutinized by Joss's activities.
So I second that. So, Rich, do you want to answer Doug's question and maybe give us some information or maybe highlight a few of these loans?
Yes. Doug, the loans were approved by the Attorney General's office. And today, most of the loans on the list fund road work or the purchase of equipment, but there are a few deals worth special mention. First, the Monticello School District is borrowing, I believe, $40,000 for renewable energy projects that are comprised mostly of converting to LED lighting, which should save them a lot of money in the future. LED, switching to LEDs is one of the biggest bang for the buck projects that you can do in energy efficiency. Also, the City of La Crosse is borrowing for two loans, and the first loan involves a property within the gateway to the city that came up for sale, and the city is borrowing to acquire that property so that they can control future development of that parcel.
Which loan is that? Which one is that?
That's the City of La Crosse.
Give us a number.
The number. Number 5.
Okay, there I am. Go ahead.
Sorry, Doug. And then number 4, the city is also borrowing to fund the upfront project costs for a major wastewater project. you know, in essence, the flexibility of the program and the fact that we charge no fees makes the trust fund loan program advantageous for interim financing for large construction projects. And the city of La Crosse has an excellent history of using the trust fund loan program in a variety of projects over the past decade or so. And then finally, with apologies to Attorney General Call and State Treasurer Gudlewski, you know, I'd like to point out that the town of La Follette in Burnett County is supporting the program by borrowing over $370,000 for roadwork.
I mean, I wish I had a county down there. That would be great. I wish.
Maybe someday.
This has to be off the record. Don't put it in the minutes. But I forgot there was even a city named La Follette.
That's
well,
all
Doug,
I have for
today. Doug, you should go up and visit the great road work that's going to be up there, financed by the BCPL.
That'd be a good photo opportunity.
Agreed. Any questions for Rich and Rich? Just we know that this is we have 18 loans, which is more than usual. Any thoughts behind why there might be an increase in demand?
I think one of the reasons is because there were 3 weeks between meetings. You know, that tends to bottle things up for the next meeting. But things come and go in waves, and we've reached a high point for the loan program right now. I doubt if we're going to have anywhere near 18 for the next meeting, probably because people wanted to get their loan funding in advance of some projects that were happening later in the summer.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Rich? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the loan say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
The loans are approved. There is no old business. There's no new business. So we'll move into routine business. So, Rich, your Chief Investment Officer's report.
Okay. First, I would like to announce that for the fiscal year 2020, we approved over 200 loans, which was the most in the past 3 years. And so we're pretty excited about that. Second, you'll notice from the charts provided that our ETF and mutual fund investments, as well as our public bond portfolios, are averaging over a 4% yield. To put that into perspective, Green Bay just issued taxable bonds, and for 20-year bonds, Green Bay only had to pay 2.40%. And so we're doing pretty well in our portfolios. Mm-hmm. Recent investments in preferred stock and private real estate and debt funds, you know, should provide yields higher, significantly higher than the 4%, and help to both increase and stabilize the annual distribution to future beneficiaries. Finally, you know, the yield on the state investment fund has fallen to 15 basis points, 0.15%, due to declines in the short-term market interest rates over the past few months. You know, we don't expect this rate to recover anytime soon. Back in 2016, when the state investment fund also reached near 0%, BCPL contracted with American Deposit Management of Milwaukee to manage excess cash reserves. ADM invests these funds in two different ways. They split the BCPL deposit into banks across the country, including $10 million in Wisconsin, in amounts of $245,000 to retain FDIC insurance. And then they also make large deposits in money center banks that have investment-grade credit ratings. You know, through this arrangement, BCPL expects to earn more than 60 basis points, more than four times the current rate offered through the state investment fund. The cost is primarily liquidity. BCPL can get funds from the state investment fund the next day, but it can take up to a week or so to get funds back through ADM. Now, this generally is not a problem, as we will retain enough funds within the state investment fund to meet our immediate needs. And that's all I have for today.
That was a very good idea when we did that. I never heard of such a thing. But
yeah, it worked well last time we did it, Doug, if you remember. And We were, you know, in the meantime, you know, the State Investment Fund was able to get rates higher than were offered from banks, but that has again reversed itself. So we'll be able to get a better yield through ADM once again.
I think one of the things also to note, in addition to ADM being a Wisconsin-based company that's managing this investment opportunity, it's also we've partnered with, or we have kind of earmarked a certain amount of the liquidity going to Wisconsin banks. So it was a good opportunity to do that as well.
That's correct.
Any questions for Rich? Thanks, Rich. Moving to Tom's report.
Well, Rich got to give the definitive report in terms of what we've done and where we're going. And what I wanted to do was just point out some of the things that we don't know at this point. Some days it feels like we're in the eye of a hurricane because there's still so many unknowns associated with the COVID-19 crisis. None of us know how long this crisis will linger. We don't know the long-term economic effects of the pandemic, and we still don't even know all the short-term effects. We don't know if or when Congress will pass a stimulus bill that might provide additional funding to state and local governments. Wisconsin counties are still not certain how many property taxpayers will defer their July installment payments. The UW system doesn't know how much money they may need to borrow to operate during this difficult time. And municipalities and school districts don't know if they may need to borrow just for operating capital. So BCPL staff, we continue to take things one day at a time. We keep an eye on the potential future loan demand and investment opportunities. We still have roughly $200 million available for investments. That gives us the flexibility to proactively respond during this changing time. Moving on, our senior forester, Kevin Burns, who worked part-time for DHS on the COVID mapping effort, is finishing up his work there and is returning to BCPL full-time. BCPL has been investigating the sale of our Pigeon Lake property for several years. UW River Falls had leased the property from us, but they decided several years ago to stop holding summer camps on that site. We met with local stakeholders in Bayfield County on the grounds of the property last week. County board members, county staff, UW Extension officials, local citizens, and representatives of Northland College toured the property and had a chance to ask questions. The staff here is hopeful that with this expanded interest that we may be able to develop a sale or exchange of the property in the foreseeable future. And finally, the land exchange with the U.S. Forest Service continues to move forward. The superintendent of the Shawamigan-Nicolet Forest and I had a recent conference call with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission regarding the land exchange. The Glithwick officials expressed cautious support for the transaction. And they also expressed interest in the possibility that BCPL might consider entering into a memorandum of understanding with local tribes, similar to the MOU that we have with the Forest County Potawatomi community. I personally believe that that MOU with the Forest County Potawatomi made it easier for us to complete three separate sales to that tribe. So we're looking at that as well. And that's my report for this meeting. Any questions?
Tom, do you have any timelines associated with some of these land transactions?
With the Forest Service, things move at a glacial pace. Up until January of this year, that a transaction with the Forest Service was just not moving at all. But since January, they have committed, appears to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 or 7 staff members that are almost dedicated to pushing this transaction forward. So right now they're working on the appraisals. We would expect the appraisals to be done somewhere in the September range. At that point, the package goes from the Schwamigan-Nicolet folks up in Rhinelander down to the Milwaukee Regional Office. I would imagine it would be there for somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 60 days, at which point it moves to Washington, D.C. office for passive review by two separate committees of Congress. And I know you're probably going to ask me which committees, and I don't remember at the present time. So at the fastest pace with all of this, we would be looking at finishing that up at the end of the year. But the Forest Service never fails to surprise me in terms of another gap in the process. But nonetheless, we have been hitting the targets lately in terms of getting things done and moving. So I'm optimistic. With respect to the Pigeon Lake property,
Sorry, Tom, can you maybe just remind the commissioner of how many acres of land, because it's a significant transaction.
So with the Forest Service, we would be exchanging over 4,000 acres of land to the Forest Service in return for roughly 3,200 acres. And the reason for that discrepancy is the Forest Service would be getting a lot more swamplands and wetlands, and we would be getting a higher percentage of upland timbered land in return. And because of the fact that we are looking at making money off of that land, the land that we would be getting would be much more productive than the land that we would be exchanging to them. So this would be the single biggest transaction in the history of the agency in terms of reshaping the land base. When we had started land banking 15 years ago, we were looking at a very scattered land base, but something like this would reshape it considerably into a much more consolidated, productive tracts of land. With respect to the Pigeon Lake property, this has been a difficult transaction. There are many people up in that area that feel strongly that the property should somehow stay in the public domain. However, finding financing for some local government to acquire the property has been very difficult. With the meeting that was held last week that gave local officials a chance to tour the property, you had a significant portion of the county board there that were taking it upon themselves to take a look at the property and what the possibilities might be. But the folks from Northland College expressed a strong interest in the property. What I personally didn't realize until I walked the property again was that they actually have fiber optic cable running to the property, and so they have 1 gig high-speed internet right at that property. And while one of the things that had been an obstacle for the property sale in the past was the fact that the Boy Scouts were selling so many of their camps, which had comparable facilities to ours throughout the state, I'm not aware of any Boy Scout camp anywhere in the state of Wisconsin that has 1 gig fiber optic high-speed internet available at the property. So while the lake is certainly a fine amenity, it's amazing how much high-speed internet may also make the property more saleable.
Who paid for the fiber optic to be put out there?
I believe that the UW system had played a role in getting that there.
You know, it's a very interesting place. I went there one time when there was an event going on and spent the night there. At that point, many years ago, it was a very nice camp area.
So the camp is still in roughly similarly situated to what it was 10, 15 years ago, except they have upgraded electrical and better roofs on a lot of the buildings. The thing that's changed, though, is the water. The water levels have risen so much that I don't know if you remember that there was a beach area there. That's that's completely gone. There were roughly, I would say, more than 40 large red pines that are dead because they are standing in over 2 feet of water. The water levels have risen so much that they have killed pines that have been there for 50, 60 or more years. So,
why in the world did that lake level go up so much?
They're trying to figure that out. The U.S. Geological Survey folks are trying to figure out why water levels are rising so fast up there.
Okay.
But the county has had a losing battle with the water levels. The county road to the south of Pigeon Lake, they've had to raise the road level several times to keep it above the water. And they have added, I don't know how much gravel to Pigeon Lake Road that serves our property on the lake.
There's no outlet?
There is no outlet. It's a seepage lake, and water keeps coming in, and it's got nowhere to go.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
And Tom, you think that this is 40 acres of land? I'm trying to remember.
So it's roughly 90 acres of land. The funny part is the UW has a small parcel right next to ours, but I don't believe any part of the UW parcel is above water anymore. I believe it is now completely underwater.
So what used to be 95 acres is now only 90 or something like that.
You may be right, Doug. You may be right. I wasn't measuring very carefully when I was there. So, your question earlier was a timeline, and I do not have a timeline on this right now, other than the fact that for once I had several interested groups that were digging more seriously into it, and frankly, the Northland folks, I think, were expressing the most interest. They were asking the kind of due diligence questions that you start getting into once you're really ready to dig into a potential transaction.
How much do we want for the property? What's the value?
The last time it was appraised at roughly $1.3 million. However, a significant part of that appraisal was attributed to the improvements that the UW had put on it. So, and the UW has asked to be reimbursed for some of those improvements. So, we still have to sort that piece of it out.
You mean so we'd have to negotiate with them about giving them part of the sale price?
Yeah, it's an unusual situation in that. Strangely, not only does the normal school fund benefit the UW, but the UW was the tenant on this particular property and paid for the improvements on the property that added to the value of it. So.
But normally, I've never been a landlord, but is that normal practice? If I rent an apartment or if I rent a building, And I fix it up a little bit and get it repainted, can I get some of that money back from the landlord?
In most situations, the answer is no. Most times that you will have a lease that is very, very, very favorable to the landlord and expressly disclaims any of those type of claims. The lease that we had with the UW system, we inherited from the Forest Service, and that was a very bare-bones lease. So the fact is, could we take an approach that said UW get nothing for what you put into the improvements? Conceivably, yes. However, the UW, on the other hand, as the beneficiary of the fund, and through the concept of something called unjust enrichment, which is weird, would claim that for all the work and money that they put into those improvements, it's a little bit weird that the money would stay in the fund instead of going back to the people that put it in. So the short answer to your question, Doug, is in a normal situation, no. As a tenant, if you put some paint on your property, you would get nothing. But this is not a normal situation. It is different.
Well, thanks, Tom. Any other questions for Tom?
Seeing none, it's just my report's really quite simple. As Tom or Rich mentioned, we are looking at always investment opportunities with that $200 million. And so in kind of vetting these investment opportunities, if commissioners ever get any investment opportunities, just please send them to Rich and Tom, and the investment committee will review. But that is all I have on my end. Any future agenda items?
None for me.
Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
I move.
I second. All those in favor of adjournment say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Hey, this is Doug. Something happened. I got disconnected from you guys.
Oh, we were just voting on adjournment. So do you want to second it?
So I'm back now. What are we doing? We're adjourning?
Yep, we just were voting on adjournment. Do you want to second the motion?
I'm back. I'll move. We adjourn. Second it.
So second it. Great. So all those in favor of adjournment say aye. I'm Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
Me too.
Great. Well,
have a good
thank
week, everybody.
You both. Have a great week. Appreciate it. Bye-bye, everyone.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.